It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello. Any more on that there?
Let's go.
Who's a moron?
Moron. That.
Oh, my bad. Thought we were already starting the show off with mean things to say to one another.
Hey, be nice. People are about to go into space.
No. Not people.
No, people. There's more than one person on the flight.
Not convinced that person's human. Gonna need more.
He's on that one. He's S.R. Haddon from Contact with Jodie Foster. That's who Jeff Bezos is. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in as we... let's do that. Let's talk about the space thing. It's our only time to do it. I can't tell how I feel about it. Like, the way I probably should feel about it is the way I think most people feel about it, which is, yay, billionaires going to space. But then I also am really behind going to space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we left the cave, we built the fire, we explore, that's what we do. And I'm a big fan of further exploration, and if it takes billionaires to do it, and there's something going all the way back to the walk on the moon, which
the song
was today, by the way. Today's the anniversary of the first moonwalk.
Well, for doing anniversary.
That well,
no,
I know that was Michael Jackson.
No, and, I was gonna say.
Yeah, I mean the first actual walk on the moon. Excuse me.
Well, in that case, also a happy 25th birthday to future King Ben Simmons.
Oh, is that?
I'm feeling persnickety.
All right. Yeah, is it gonna be that kind of day?
That kind of day, buddy.
One thing I always felt was incredibly interesting about the walk on the moon, which again, that's that today's. Today's anniversary. Number one, a guy won $24,000 in 1969 on a 1,000-to-1 wager that we would actually land on the moon. That's kind of neat.
It's a cool little payout.
Mm-hmm. It was a cool payout. Also, boy, that got some great ratings, didn't it?
The moon?
Yes.
I'd imagine back in the 60s, that was probably must-see TV.
The moon is excellent.
Equivalent to Seinfeld... on a Thursday, circa 1993.
I also felt, and this is a true story, the people that went up on the moon, Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins and Neil Armstrong.
Phil's brother.
They had per diem of $8 a day.
Hmm. What's that get you on the moon?
Right. Like, I don't get that. Like, why would you have per diem when you're going to the moon?
Filet mignon, sprinkle a little moon dust on that thing. It's a rub.
Also, there's all kinds of cool little facts. Like, I think each one of them, I'm pretty sure this is right. I know it was something like this, but I'm pretty sure each one of them had a half of a dollar bill. They ripped dollar bills in half, and they gave each one half of them. And then when they got back down, they would match them up to make sure that the same people that went up came back down. I mean, that's where we were at.
They wanted to make sure that it was Buzz Aldrin, not Buzz Aldrin, who was, like, abducted by an alien. And
yes.
That alien became nice.
Exactly.
I mean, to be fair, you know, I probably would have thought the same. That would have been my thought process, too. Like, hey, we don't know. We know who's going up, but, hey, who's coming back?
First time in space, you got to figure all that out.
Yeah.
By the way, the reason we're talking about this is Jeff Bezos and his friends are moments away from going further up in space than Richard Branson did. Now, two records are going to be broken today. They're going to have the oldest person to ever go into space.
Hmm.
But the interesting one is they will have the youngest person to ever go into space as well. 18-year-old Oliver Damon will be joining Jeff Bezos and friends. The winning bid, because one seat was open.
No relation to Matt, right?
No, it's a different spelling.
Oh.
Daemian.
That's not right.
The winning bid was $28
million.
$28 million. The trip in space is 10 minutes. So that's $2.8 million per minute. Easy math. the original bidder who won backed out at the last minute due to, and I quote, a scheduling conflict.
Oh.
Which I just got to know.
Dentist.
You bid $28 million. You win. You go through all the prep. And then at last minute, you're like,
cavity.
I have a meeting.
Got that filling. Got to get done today.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to get to this dentist?
No,
I can't. I got to get in. I won't get in for another 3 months. Scheduling. More like he had a clean underwear conflict.
Yeah, same. I'm not trying to go to space, bro.
I'm with you.
Not my thing.
And why can't the anonymous bidder, who's anonymous anyways, just come out and say, yeah, I did not want to mess my shorts. And in the end, I was too freaked out and I can't do it. Because that would have been my... I don't know. They don't have stats on this. I wish they did.
Would you call it a press conference and that's how you let off?
Oh, dude. I'm sure it would never come out, but I'm being dead serious here. If you had to guess one way or the other, how long would it take for you to put money on one of two choices? Either it never happened or there has been one or more complete soilings on the way up to space.
Oh, I put all my money on one or more.
Oh,
all of it.
I put my money on it.
My house.
Somebody messed their shorts on the. And I'm.
If there's an inadvertent one, it happened.
It absolutely happened. And I would be that guy. I mean, it's not like anybody wants to do that. It's involuntary. But those G forces. So this kid going up, by the way. So the guy backed out. So this kid is the son
Oliver
of private equity CEO Jose Damon. That's a interesting graduation present. Congratulations, kid. Happy graduation. I'm going to buy you a seat on this flight for $28 million.
Because they're rich, is it Oliver or Olivier?
It's probably Olivier.
Olivier.
Like Olivier Saint-Jean, yeah. Former king.
King's legend, Olivier Saint-Jean.
And do you think the kid, here's what I hope, do you think the kid was like, Dad, I just wanted a stereo?
Probably not a stereo. I don't think anyone's asked their parents for a stereo in about 20, 25 years.
Ferris Bueller got a stereo.
Yeah, he got a stereo. You know what they get now? They get a Beats Pill. Yeah. Stereo. What is a stereo? Why don't you just say boombox, boomer?
You remember, oh, I just thought of that. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of things that aren't allowed anymore, does anybody call it a ghetto blaster? Remember when that was the term that you'd hear people say? Now you look ahead years later and you're like, oh, my God.
You probably can't say that.
No. In 2021. But here's the other thing.
I understand.
Here's the other reference. Thing. The tank top T-shirts that they call... beers.
Yeah, I can't do that one either.
How are these things not talked about as how horrible they were?
I think people have a general idea of how bad they were, and that's why they just kind of like, I think common sense kicked in for some people.
Because that wasn't 50 years ago.
No,
that was like the 80s. Well, with the shirts.
Yeah, the shirt was 5 years ago.
I still hear it. I still hear that. The boombox thing I probably haven't heard since the late 80s, early 90s, whatever. But you look back and you're like, oh, my God, how did that get approved at all?
Well, you know what they say, Dave, different time, different place.
I had a boombox.
Despite the fact it was the same place, but go on.
When I got a boombox that it had dual cassettes and you could play and record, so you could copy. And there was about a 2-year period.
By the way, I just wonder how those got away with, like, how many dubbed tapes out there.
Oh, God.
How many sales did LL Cool J miss out on?
Oh.
How many sales did Nirvana miss out on because you could dub their cassettes?
Dude, when the movie's Breakin' and what was the other one? Beat Street.
I have the soundtrack to both.
I'll bet you.
On vinyl. On vinyl.
100% believe that. The kids that lived across the street from us. Justin, Dallas, Casey, and Tage were their names for it.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. Dude, we would take turns. Anytime anybody's family got a moving box, we would take turns. Anytime somebody got a new box, we would flatten it, draw on it, like draw all kinds of cool designs and stuff. And we would break dance.
I'm sorry, we?
Dude, there is a two-year period.
B-Boy Dave was a thing?
Well, please understand. The two-year period was like from 7 to 9 years old. And none of us knew what we were doing, but we'd watch the movies.
Please tell me someone has cassette of this or something.
No, I got, dude, I swear I wish. And if they did, I would put it on Twitter somehow.
Because that's amazing.
I remember that Justin, who was the oldest, got a record. And it was a bunch of songs that were supposed to be breakdancing songs, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. And you would pull out the, you pulled out the insert and it had directions on how to do different moves.
Oh my
now,
God.
Now, we all figured out how to do the helicopter. If you don't know what the helicopter is, YouTube it, but you basically swing your legs and you spin around on your back, right? But the one thing we never could do is that one where your legs go in the V and mm-hmm. you're like, I don't know what the hell it's called. You're spinning up and down and whatever. No, we all tried it. How somebody didn't break their neck. I'm old enough to remember. I know we got to break. I'm old enough to remember, and somebody out there is going to remember this. The rumor that Alfonso Ribeiro, then of Silver Spoons, who was thought to be one of the best breakdancers in the world, I remember the rumor when it came out that he was paralyzed because he broke his neck doing a head spin. That was a big thing for like 2 days. That was before the internet, man. Nobody knew if it was true. It just spread.
Then he's on Silver Spoons, and you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's breakdancing.
Wow. B-Boy Dave.
You ever own
learn something new every day.
You ever own a pair of parachute pants?
Nah, I wasn't old enough.
I did. Black and red, baby.
Did you have a, what was the workout gear? Zubas? Is that what it's called? Zubas?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't get into all that weird stuff, dude. I just breakdanced. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Yeah, leading off. Let's do it. Oh, boy, we had some sports yesterday, and boy, do we have some more sports today. Today is an excellent sports day, but you know what? In a few days, it might be a really bad sports week. We'll explain all of that, starting with tonight's finals and Bay Area baseball next.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal. In the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
Let's look at a few things. This is the super team era. There were people saying when Giannis signed with the Bucks for 5 years, they were like, he just decided he's not going to win a championship. He's not going to win a championship, at least in the next 5 years. And then by then, he'll be older. It might not mean as much for his legacy. He's doomed himself. And yet, he's about or may win a championship with no super team. That is huge. LeBron hasn't really done that. Kevin Durant hasn't really done that. So that would be big for Giannis's legacy.
Uh-huh. Chris Broussard. I mean, listen.
The forgotten ESPNer, Chris Broussard. Over there, I think he's FS1 now, right?
Speaking of former huge ESPN names, let's plug Matt George's Locked On Kings podcast. Had a great conversation with Chad Ford. And on top of that, Chad Ford tweeted out that he loved doing the podcast and gave Matt hopefully some good hits on that. And one of the things Chad said is he said, Kings fans don't like me, but I love them. And then he said some complimentary things about Kings fans. And dude, maybe I missed it. I usually know who all the enemies are. Do we not like Chad Ford? I don't particularly love the guy or he doesn't stand out to me, but I don't remember Chad Ford hate except the occasional draft take.
I think there's just been some draft takes he's had that, you know, there's a segment of Kings fans on social media who blow up anytime you have a take that is contrarian to theirs. That might be it. That's the only thing I could think of.
If you look back...
I don't have Chad Ford on my enemy list.
That's the same here. And if you look back, by the way, if people are getting upset at Chad Ford draft takes and he was predicting and grading Kings drafts over the last 15 years, I guess in retrospect, Chad Ford was probably right most of the time considering who we picked.
Yeah, I would have to go back. I mean, Chad Ford has had some real big misses in his mocks.
Sure.
Like, really sure, badly. Sure. I don't know what Ford's... I put it this way. There's never been, like... Chad Ford's never mocked anybody to the Kings that made me be like, what the hell is this guy talking
right.
about?
Well, coming up at 6:45, we're going to talk a little bit. I asked questions yesterday from people that know things. I've got an answer for you. Yes, I talked to Slamson. Got an answer for you on the Rashawn Holmes conversation we were having yesterday on what the Kings can and can't pay him.
Okay.
And then also was, you know, with Alperen Sengun and a couple other guys, international guys, I honestly wanted to talk to somebody who knew things about how to rank these folks based on where they play. And I think I got some pretty interesting feedback, at least from one neck of the woods. Either way, game six tonight, we could be coming into this show tomorrow talking about the Milwaukee Bucks as world champions, which in this crazy, kooky season and, more importantly, playoffs, although the Bucks haven't won it in forever, as we went over yesterday, since 1971, not the shocker that I think people are going to make it out to be. It's one thing if they haven't won in a long time. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like Milwaukee wasn't one of the favorites to win this year.
Top three seed in their conference.
Right. Two-time reigning MVP going in. Like, the Suns would be perhaps, I think,
even though they're the two seed.
But I'm saying if the Suns were to win the title this year, we would have to go back and try to find, and I guarantee you it would be at least 70s or pre, to find another team going into the season that was more of an underdog that ended up winning the finals than the Suns.
Detroit.
The Pistons?
In 04.
No, but more of an underdog than the Suns at the start of the year?
Did anyone really think Detroit was going to be that? Remember, at the start of the year, they did not have Rasheed Wallace.
Sure.
So that plays into it.
A lot of this conversation could get out of play because a lot of it's memory and opinion based, but I'll just bet you the preseason odds for the Suns to win the title and the preseason odds for the Pistons to win the 04 title are not particularly close.
I would like to see those
odds. That the Suns were way less of a favorite than the Pistons.
I'm not saying they weren't less. I don't know how dramatically. Again, beginning of the season. I wonder, can we look that up? Is that a thing?
Feel like 2003-04 NBA preseason finals futures odds? Giannis needs a title to cement his legacy, many say. He is probably the second, well, he's certainly behind Chris Paul when it comes to needing a title. We'll see you tonight. I'm very, very, very excited about this.
It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a really good freaking game.
I think this is going to be an absolute war. And I'm in a good war. Well, a few times you can say a good war, and I am here for it 100%. Number two.
Leading off. Cut number two.
We had a workshop this week. It was really an identification of how far a gap exists between our proposal, the billions of dollars that we're willing to spend there, $450 million in community benefits, and really what the city council's vision and needs are to vote yes on the project. And so that is a challenge that we would have to overcome to get to a yes vote on our proposal between now and the 20th. But, you know, we're still working hard to see if that can happen. We don't know how it's going to play out. At the end of the day, I think the most important thing is we're going to get some type of direction and closure, so we'll understand what makes the most sense, you know, for the A's.
Yeah, I wish I had better news for A's fans. I do. Today there will be a vote.
Yes.
And
there will be a vote.
One of two things is going to happen. Either the A's fate will be sealed, and at some point tonight we will know that the Oakland Athletics are leaving Oakland, or the deal will be on life support and we will delay the A's leaving Oakland. I'm
doing some math here. It sounds like you're saying whatever the equation is, it's going to equal A's leaving Oakland.
I came to the conclusion a couple weeks ago this team is more than that. But, you know, you don't want to be dramatic and you don't want to do the sports radio thing. But, yeah, they're gone. They're absolutely gone. Dave Cavill's still saying all the right stuff. They are so they're so far apart.
Is he?
I mean, he says,
there's a lot of things Dave Cavill says that leave me scratching my head. I'll leave it at that.
He basically says we don't know if we're going to get a positive vote, but we hope we do. We want to keep them in Oakland. But
do we?
We don't know. I don't know that they do either.
I have become very, very hesitant to believe that that is an actual thought process, is we want to keep the team in Oakland.
Oh, wait. We went to break. We come back. The Bezos flight's already over?
I think so. Dude, did you see?
What are they, 5 minutes?
During the break, because we got to go.
Yeah.
Get on IG, check Cody's story of the angle of which they have the rocket. It will make you laugh. because we're
five. Oh, I'm hearing about this. Does it look like something?
Yep.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah. All right. Number three.
No, we got to go to break.
Oh, we got to go to break. Yeah. All right. We'll take a break.
Yeah. That was nice.
Coming up next.
That's fine. The one thing we didn't have time to cover is baseball in the Bay. And good news. The good guys all won last night. The bad guys all lost last night. And boy, did it look like a crazy game in the first inning, didn't it?
Yeah.
Then everything just kind of relaxed.
Boring.
Giants-Dodgers. We'll get to that next.
Got something to say? Text the show at 916-339-1140. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Hey, anybody here? Buster Posey came back yesterday after being on the injured list?
Injured list.
The IL.
Gonsolin to the plate. And Posey rips one down the left field line. Headed to the corner. It is gone. Up over the left field wall. Welcome back, Buster Posey.
Wow.
Is that Dave Fleming?
That was Dave Fleming on the call.
Kind of
Giants Radio Network.
Disingenuous.
I
thought it was foul.
It was not a clear home run, I think, so he kind of held back.
I thought it was foul.
I mean, it wasn't. But it looked like it could have been. And then the very next...
Controversy in Los Angeles last night.
The very next batter, Flores, murdered the ball.
1-0 to Wilmer Flores with still only one out. Now a swing and a high drive left field. Wilmer got this one on its way. Gone! Back-to-back homers for the Giants. 3-0.
And Max Muncy, who the A's just drafted.
Right.
Already playing with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I checked it. Born on the same day. It's got to be the same guy. Bottom of the first.
And there's a shot to right. If it's fair, it's gone. And it is gone. A home run. What a shot off the bat of Max Muncy.
Come out, Charlie, and get your whooping. Charlie Steiner, the star of all the best. Well, 8 of the top 10 best. This is SportsCenter commercials on the call. It really kind of ticks me off that I hate the Dodgers. I hate everything about them. I hate them. Yet, their two voices, Vin Scully, their former voice, and I love both of those guys.
They're really good at their jobs.
They are, and I love Charlie Steiner. Here's Justin Turner right after Max Muncy.
Gausman delivers, and Turner with a fly ball. And the Dodgers say back-to-back, back-to-back this. It is 3-2.
Back-to-back this, pal.
I was watching. There's a stat there somewhere. I think it's the first time in the history of the series, it's got to be, but it's like the first time in the history of the Giants-Dodgers series, which goes back a long way, that there were two back-to-back home runs hit in the first inning by either team.
Funny you mention it. I have the statistic right in front of us.
Oh, do you?
According to Sports Radar, which I didn't know was a thing, this was the first time in the 2,526 regular season games of the Giants versus Dodgers rivalry that both teams hit back-to-back homers in the first inning. Who would have thought it?
How about that? Also, I actually thought this was rather crazy. Jimmy Scherfy, which is a funny last name.
That's a great name.
Jimmy Scherfy becomes the first player in the LA Dodgers-San Francisco Giants series. Granted, remember, before that it was other teams, other cities. To appear in the same season for both teams.
That is insane, actually.
I really, when I saw that, I went, is that right? Like, all the games they've played since they moved?
Talk about two teams never wanting to have a transaction with one another.
Well,
Lord.
Right. And then on top of that, then later on, you get Paul Bickford, who comes in for the Dodgers, or Phil Bickford, Paul Bickford, who's a former Giants draft pick. And ends up with the Dodgers. And so what are we doing here? It's like when Brian Wilson was playing for the Dodgers.
Can we not ever say that again?
What? Brian?
That
thing?
It was gross.
I agree with you.
It was gross.
I totally agree
with
you. I
think both fan bases found that gross.
Yeah, it really, truly, it was really gross. It was like, it wasn't illegal.
It should have
been. But it should have been.
Right.
It should have been.
It was this weird incestual thing, and I just wasn't about it.
I know where you're going, and I wasn't necessarily going to go here, but it was almost like if you had a Brady Bunch situation. You remember the Brady Bunch?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then, I don't know, years later, Jan and the dad started dating after they got divorced.
Yeah, I was going to go with just one of the kids, but you decided
to take it there. That's what I'm saying, it's Jan and, the two kids, there you go.
Yours is a little darker.
Yeah, like if Greg and Jan. There you go. Yeah, I like yours better. Mine was darker. All right. So if Greg and Jan for the Brady Bunch dated years later, it's like, it's not illegal. They were stepbrother and sister, but.
Ew. It's just ew.
Just ew. Yep. That's a good
call. So was the final score of that game.
Final score was 7-2. It was 3-2 forever.
I know.
And then the Giants got loose. Seventh inning.
How is it if you're the Dodgers, and this is why the Dodgers have just made me scratch my head all year, because it's things like this that has why this team is not in first place, is you get Gausman out after three innings,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're good. It's like, all right, the Giants bullpen is not going to hold up for six innings.
Nope.
And then the Giants bullpen holds up for six innings.
When Gausman got out, I went, this is point Dodgers. Because they're down a run, but you just got into the Giants bully after three innings. If you'd have told me on the show yesterday that Kevin Gausman would go three innings. And by the way, what a move by Gabe Kapler in retrospect, because you have your ace. He gave up two earned in three innings, and they pulled him after 80 pitches.
Yeah.
And it worked. And it worked. The bully goes six innings of one-hit ball, allowed two total base runners, shut out the Dodgers. And had you told me Gausman was gone after three yesterday, I would have put all the money in the world on the Dodgers.
Same.
All the money in the world on the Dodgers. They also chased Tony Gonsolin in the fourth. He goes 3 1/3. Giving up three earned. Very early hooks these days.
Yeah.
Very early hooks. Either way, Giants now have a two-game lead on the Dodgers. They win their only game of this series. By the way, congratulations to both of us, lifelong Giants and Dodger fans yesterday. I just want to say congratulations, and because these things don't get pointed out enough in sports radio. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to both of us for having a complete conversation going over whether we thought the Giants would win one or two games in this series. But it's a four-game series.
Yeah, they're going to win all four.
Yeah, that was neat how we were talking about how it was a three-game series.
It should have been a three-game series.
They're not winning all four.
The next series is a three-game series.
They might split.
Oh, they're going to
easily.
They're
not winning three.
Oh, the split is the easy thing.
I think they might. They might do a sandwich.
Sir.
Win the first and the last.
I don't think you've been watching the Dodgers this year. They do stupid things.
I get it.
It's a combination of they've had some key injuries, but they've also – I hate the whole idea of the World Series hangover, the NBA championship hangover, the Super Bowl hangover. These guys have a little bit of World Series hangover.
Really?
Yeah. It's obvious. There's just a certain urgency they don't play with that they played with last year.
Not for nothing as we transition to the A's.
Oh, boy.
Nobody here cares about the Nationals, Marlins, Red Sox, Blue Jays matchups. I just want to point out that the Nationals and Red Sox won by a combined 31-5.
That was ridiculous.
18-1 and 13-4. And I think it was like 10-0 on both sides before either. Those games were over early. Meanwhile.
Hold on. I got a good segue. Was there more runs scored in those two games, or was there more fans at the Coliseum last night?
Oh, for this game?
Breaking ball hit high in the air to left. It's deep. Back on it is Eaton, at the track, at the wall, and gone! Ramon Laureano, and he connects for a three-run homer, his 14th of the year.
Matt Olson followed up.
And the 1-2 is swung and lifted a deep right, deep in the corner. It's right down the line, fair or foul, and fair! Gone! Home run for Olson, and the A's take a 4-0 lead.
That was a great Ken Korak right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. The pitching matchup didn't disappoint. You know, I mean, Irvin was one, but Shohei Ohtani on the mound. They combined for 13 innings of shutout ball between the two of them. Shohei Ohtani goes six innings, just three hits, a walk, and eight strikeouts on 96 pitches. His ERA is down to 3.21. Didn't matter. The bullpen led by Steve Cishek, giving up three earned in 0.0 innings. Good job, Steve.
Once you knew Ohtani was out of the game, I felt pretty confident the A's would win. I mean, Trevino goes two innings. He looked pretty good out there, but that Angels bullpen is so bad.
It really
is. I mean, the pitching staff in general is so bad, but their bullpen is awful.
It really is. And you kind of feel bad for Shohei Ohtani.
No, he chose to sign there. He could have signed with the Dodgers. I don't feel bad
that,
for Shohei.
Is that really? That's what it is?
That is a thing. He could have signed with the Dodgers. We got to pay off our attendance bet.
We're going to pay off our attendance
bet. I'm excited about this.
Yesterday, I set the over-under at 20,000. Monday, sure. But with the big vote today, the biggest draw in sports, and more on that later, by the way, certainly the biggest draw in baseball, on the mound, the over-under we set at 20,000. And I told you I thought that was high. I said I thought it would be somewhere between 15 and 20. Probably the better over-under would be 15. Now, in retrospect, had I set the over-under at 15... Come on. The under still would have won. 14,856.
Boo!
For Shohei Ohtani, the biggest draw.
Boo.
We're going to have to find a way to...
Ohtani only put 6,000 more people in that were there on Sunday.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, granted, that's a lot more than they... Listen, you probably would have had 4,000 or 5,000 had it not been... I'm very curious to see what it'll be tonight. But isn't tonight like dollar something night? Aren't Tuesdays always dollar something?
I don't know. I don't think it matters. They'll be back around that 8,000 figure tonight.
I think they're... Oh, let's do this again. I think they're absolutely below 8,000 tonight.
You think they're below it?
Below 8,000. Because they had, what, 8,700 for the Indians for the Clevelands on Sunday. I'm going absolutely under. So, all right, double up. Double or nothing from the nothing we bet yesterday.
Exactly. Let's do it.
All right, we'll take a break.
Feeling frisky.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All righty. We got the NBA Finals tonight. Also, Jay and I were wondering what the heck could the Kings pay Rashawn Holmes. I found some answers out yesterday. While I was at it, I also asked, how do front offices, how do they rank international basketball leagues? How does that factor into your draft prep? And could Damian Lillard be on the way to the Sacramento Kings? That's a nationally published report. We'll pay that off next.
The highest rated morning show on KHTK. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
That might be my favorite rejoinder. Because about once a month I get somebody saying, somebody will hit me on Twitter or something saying, well, of course you're the highest rated morning show. You're the only morning show on KHDK, stupid.
You big stupid gosh.
And I enjoy that. I'm Dave, that's Jay.
Some people just, I've learned that there's a sarcasm, like.
They don't get it.
Meter.
They need
and
the font.
Theirs is like at a negative 10.
When you hear this music, I want you to tell me what you immediately think of.
Forrest Gump.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. It's easy.
Oh, this music.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump, of course, is what comes to mind.
I thought you were talking about Jeremiah as a bullfrog and jerk.
Composed by, a lot of people don't know this. The man who composed this song is the same man that composed the Star Wars theme.
That's actually not surprising. There's a very similar feeling. Like, can't you imagine Vader just running with the torch right now?
Now I am. We have a lot of other stuff to get to. I don't want to spend too much time on this. But I am compelled to point out that, amongst other things, Jay, including the Olympic theme, John Williams also composed, you know, the theme to Jaws. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
The theme to Superman.
Yeah.
Obviously, Star Wars.
John Williams is kind of the man.
The Harry Potter themes.
Good career with the Cavs and the Suns, too.
E.T. People talk about Mozart and Beethoven and Chopin. John Williams belongs absolutely in that category to me. As a matter of fact, I would say, at least in America, because, you know, that's where a lot of these movies are from.
Yeah.
I'll bet you more people, I guarantee you more people could name John Williams songs than they could Mozart and Beethoven.
Oh, I could.
Combine.
That's easy.
The reason I'm playing this, Jay, before we get to our basketball here, and Rashawn Holmes specifically, the chief of the Tokyo 2020 organizing committee today did not rule out a last-minute cancellation of the Olympics as more athletes tested positive and major sponsors are now ditching plans to attend the opening ceremony this Friday. Not next week. Not next month.
Dude.
This Friday.
These Olympics are going to be a fart in church. If they even
I don't even think they make it to church. Hozier. 67 cases.
Like Hozier, listen to you.
Take me to church. 67 cases of COVID amongst those accredited to the games since July 1st. And a little bit later, we'll tell you the latest American athlete / NBA player to get the COVID, or at least get in the protocols, I should say. We should be
We
don't know. Yesterday, we had a conversation about Rashawn Holmes, and you and I, mainly me, I'll say, were a little confused because I read a few places that the Kings could only offer Rashawn Holmes XYZ amount of money, and it wasn't the amount of money wasn't what he's expected to be offered. And you had said, well, hey, yeah, that's fine and all, but if the Kings do a couple of cap clearing things, they can pay him, you know,
more.
So I decided to call people. Now, I want to specify one thing. I did not talk to anyone in the Kings front office because I don't want to start things at all. But
yes, Thompson doesn't work in the front office.
Yeah, thank you.
Works in the back office.
But I do know somebody that works in an NBA front office who answered a couple questions for me. Now, number one, when it comes to Rashawn Holmes, just to make it as easy as possible, let's say the Kings tomorrow traded, and let's not start this rumor, traded De'Aaron Fox to whoever for
Portland for Dame Lillard.
For draft picks. For draft picks. They got rid of $30 million and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings could max out Rashawn Holmes. They can pay him whatever he wants. They are cap strong. Which is what I told you yesterday.
I was going to say, as reported by front office cap expert Jay Mars yesterday. By the way, had to have the same conversation with Jason Ross. So
yeah.
Why don't you guys learn a few things about hoops, bruh?
You know why I think guys like Jason and I were a little off on that is because, and obviously it's different situations because of rookie cap, but little off because of what happened with Harry Giles. And I know Rashawn Holmes and Harry Giles are not the same thing. But remember, we were capped on what we could pay Harry Giles. We could only offer him so much. So that's why it stuck out in my head. Anyways, they can pay Rashawn Holmes whatever they want if they made the cap room. So there you go there. The second thing is, you know, Josh Giddey and Alperen Sengun and a couple others, international players, are on the radar for the Kings. And I've always wondered this, you know, going all the way back to Luka. How do front offices look at foreign leagues and what players are doing? Like, oh, this kid's doing really well, but hey, it's in the Turkish league, or hey, it's in Serbia or whatever. And here's what I was told. Generally speaking, with exceptions, the big European leagues are actually at a higher rating, for example, than the NCAA. But youth matters a little bit. So if you've got a player in an international league that's in his, you know, it's 21, 22, 23, and they're putting up huge numbers there, you put a little bit of an asterisk. But what raises eyebrows is when you have 18, 19, 20-year-olds that are in these leagues that are putting up good numbers.
Give me an example of one in the last 5 years.
I don't want to. I can't think of one off the top of my head. Bottom line is this. I said, okay, if for example, we're looking at this kid Sengun in the Turkish league. I said, if you had the champions of that league playing Baylor, the NCAA champions, who would your front office bet on? They said, the Turkish league guys, because they're grown men. They're grown men playing against teenagers and early 20s guys. So it kind of helps to think that way when you look at numbers that these younger players are putting up in the Euro leagues to help understand how they're rated when it comes to, and by the way, Luka Doncic has really blown that up now. Now all of a sudden, these leagues, if you're doing that over there and you were to come, that same player were playing, for example, in the ACC, they'd be putting up huge numbers. Now where the problem comes, Jay, where it's not as cut and dry as we finish this, Luka Garza, I think of Iowa, was the player of the year in the NCAA that won a bunch of different awards. He's probably going to be, at best, a late round, probably a second round pick. Tyler Hansbrough, a lot of these guys throughout the years that put up Sean May, put up great numbers in college, does not transfer to the NBA. And that's really where I think the scouting comes in. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Also, The Ringer put out a report from our friend Kevin O'Connor saying the Sacramento Kings are one of the more aggressive suitors with a few other teams for Damian Lillard. And I can't buy that, Jay. We'll touch.
You can't buy that they're aggressively pursuing him?
No.
How about we're gonna do that? Let's do that in three for madness. I'm gonna make an amendment.
We'll hit that at 7:15 and why I can't see that as a real possibility though. Coming up next, top of the hour, Soundgarden, Enes Kanter, Greg Popovich, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Don't go away.